islands and was out in the open waters, the waves were as steep as cliffs, 25-30 feet tall. "Somebody sent this storm," said Jophie, who was doing her best to steer the boat, which was called the Lyre. The sail shook like a leaf in a tempest, swinging back and forth wildly, nearly impossible to hold down. "I swear, Diamanda, this is no natural storm." Diamanda, the oldest of the three women, sat in the center of the tiny vessel with her dark blue robes gathered around her and their precious cargo pressed to her bosom. "Let's not get hysterical," she told Jophie and Mespa. She wiped a long piece of white hair out of her eyes. "Nobody saw us leave the Palace of Bowers. We escaped unseen, I'm certain of it." "So why this storm?" said Mespa, who was a black woman renowned for her resilience, but who now looked close to being washed away by the rain beating down on the women's heads. "Why are you so surprised that the heavens complain?" Diamanda said. "Didn't we know the world would be turned upside down by what just happened?" Jophie fought with the sail, cursing it. "Indeed, isn't this the way it should be?" Diamanda went on. "Isn't it right that the sky is torn to tatters and the sea put in a frenzy? Would we prefer it if the world didn't care?" "No, no, of course not," said Mespa, holding on to the edge of the pitching boat, her face as white as her close-cropped hair was black. "I just wish we weren't out in the middle of it all." "Well, we are," said the old woman. "And there's not a thing any of us can do about it, so I suggest you finish emptying your stomach, Mespa." "It is empty," the sick woman said. "I have nothing left to bring up." "And you, Jophie, handle the sail." "Oh, goddesses," Jophie murmured. "Look." "What is it?" said Diamanda. Jophie pointed up to the sky. Several stars had been shaken down from the firmament, great white cobs of fire piercing the clouds and falling seaward. One of them was heading directly toward the Lyre. "Down!" Jophie yelled, catching hold of the back of Diamanda's robes and pushing the old woman off her seat. Diamanda hated to be touched. Manhandling, she called it. She started to berate Jophie roundly for what she had done, but she was drowned out by the roaring sound of the falling star as it rushed toward the vessel. It burst the billowing sail of the Lyre, burning a hole right through the canvas, and then plunged into the sea where it was extinguished with a great hissing sound. "I swear that was meant for us," Mespa said when they had all raised their heads from the boards. She helped Diamanda to her feet. "All right," the old lady replied, yelling over the din of the seething waters. "That was closer than I would have liked." "So you think we are targets?" "I don't know, and I don't care," Diamanda said. "We just have to trust to the holiness of our mission." Mespa licked her pale lips before she chanced her next words. "Are we sure it's holy?" she said. "Perhaps what we're doing is sacrilegious. Perhaps she should be left to..." "Rest in peace," said Jophie. "Yes," Mespa replied. "She was barely more than a girl, Mespa," Jophie said. "She had a life of perfect love ahead of her, and it was stolen." "Jophie's right," said Diamanda. "Do you think a soul like hers would sleep quietly, with so much life left to live? So many dreams that she never saw come true?" Mespa nodded. "You're right, of course," she conceded. "We must do this work, whatever the cost." The thunderhead that had followed them from the islands was now directly overhead. It threw down a vile, icy rain, thick as phlegm, which struck the boards of the Lyre like drumming. The lightning came down around the trembling vessel on every side, its lurid light throwing the curling waves into silhouette as they rose to break over the boat. "The sail's no use to us now," said Jophie, looking up at the tattered canvas. "Then we must find other means," said Diamanda. "Mespa, take hold of our cargo for a few moments, and be careful."